Welcome, everyone, to this episode of the Liberty Ventures podcast, live from Richard Branson's Necker Island at the first Principal Business Summit. As you know, my name is Alexander McCobin, founder and CEO of Liberty Ventures, and I am so excited to be talking with my new friend, Michael Bird, who joined us at the Principal Business Summit. This is the first time we've gotten to meet in person, but just getting to know you over the last few days, Michael, I am blown away by everything that you're doing and so excited for us to do more going forward.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for inviting me out here, and it's been an absolutely incredible experience so far.
So actually, as context for everyone, that's a valuable lesson, I think, is that you're here and we connected because of a mutual friend who is just one of the best connectors I've ever met. Whenever he meets someone new, he immediately offers, say, five people you should get in touch with. And so connected us to each other and was dead on in saying that we should know each other. It's just such a powerful lesson for everyone watching of something else that they should do. It's a lesson for me even to want to make more introductions to create these kinds of relationships.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, these days, those kind of meaningful introductions, especially, you know, you can't make those kind of inductions unless you're willing to take the time, sit down with people, actually like experience being with someone, right? And not being on your phone and not being so involved in everything else happening to actually absorb that person, understand who they are, what they're about. And then once you kind of get in that mindset, I think it, like this individual, he's so easy at taking all those different tendrils and saying these people fit together. And I don't think he's ever made an introduction where it's not at least a very meaningful conversation. And, you know, I always feel blessed whenever he introduces me to somebody new.
100%. And as I said, as we've been getting to know each other more this weekend, I'm just so inspired by everything you're doing. But let's try and condense it all in 2 minutes for everyone listening here. What's your story, your background that's led to who you are and what you're up to today?
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, and I think all comes back to this idea. And truly, actually, before coming out here, it's going to sound funny, I didn't know that conscious capitalism was actually like a book and like an actual, like, you know, developed kind of program or had some like more substance besides just a really an idea behind business, right? And applying that kind of that conscious aspect to it. But when we talk about conscious capitalism and everything that we're about, and, you know, this will lead into why, you know, Gladius is the way it is the why behind what we do. Right. Yes. And the guiding light, that guiding factor that we wake up every morning and we kind of have that direction that we're heading. And for me, unfortunately, that started at a very young age due to an incident when I was 3 years old and living in South Florida at the time. My parents were doing some construction, and unfortunately, an individual decided that they thought I would have been a target and that they could have made a little bit of extortion from basically kidnapping me. And so they kidnapped me. They held me in my own domicile for 8.5 hours. My parents were locked outside. It turned into a standoff between this individual and federal law enforcement. I'm here today. At the end of the night, this individual gave up, realized that there was no good out that, you know, that was available for him. And you know, I'm obviously blessed to be here today, but for the longest period of time, I never knew that that instance happened. The human brain is incredible how you can suppress that trauma and you really block out, you know, those kind of traumatic events. Up until my junior year of high school, where now my fiance, her dad retired from 30 years of law enforcement, so does what I'm sure a lot of law enforcement dads do and does a little background research on who's taking my daughter to prom, and found that article actually back from when I was 3 years old. And so at the end of the night, he approached me and kind of was like, hey, you know, what is this? Can you explain this? And I had no idea what it was. Like, oh, that's not me. Went home that night, kind of did my own little research, started reading through it, and started a lot of things aligned with very few memories I had from back then. And enough that I went to my parents and we had kind of the awkward conversation about what really occurred. But it made a lot of sense, you know, I'll fast forward just a little bit, but it made a lot of sense, kind of went more into college where I started studying like psychology and sociology and kind of the impact that trauma might have on people. And I kind of did a little bit of an intrinsic view on myself. And it was, I was very socially awkward kind of growing up. I played football, but beyond football, I mean, I loved my video games. I loved being inside. And I had a hard time getting along with a lot of people, truly. Football helped kind of break me out of that, but it made sense from this traumatic event that there could have been those, you know, those lingering effects from that event that would have caused that social awkwardness for a certain age. Luckily, being around a good peer group within football kind of helped me break out of that. Sports really kind of helped me flourish into being more of, I guess, more of a man, or just more of a, really just more of an individual that's willing to kind of open up a little bit more and be around people. Going forward, after university, I ended up becoming a security contractor. I did time with the State Department as well as a lot of time in the private sector, mostly south of the border in the Guadalajara area. After that, truly kind of started looking hard at the standards that were in place just for the security industry as a whole. I grew up listening to a lot of Eric Prince and a lot of the old Blackwater and kind of reading a lot of the philosophy he put behind that, but also in the old Blackwater days, a lot of the standards that came with that. And obviously over time, you know, he made a few mistakes, but kind of learning from those mistakes, looking at where the standards were today, I felt that there's a lot of negligence in that, especially coming from that traumatic event when I was so young. And so in my mind, my entire path was, how can I mitigate, you know, what my parents felt in those 8.5 hours from ever happening to as many people as I possibly can through my professional career? And so in 2020, in South Florida, we established Gladius International. Gladius International is a full-service concierge risk management firm, everything from physical security, investigations, cybersecurity, and we're really intelligence-driven. So we have a very robust intelligence apparatus. Because we believe behind every successful operation, everything we can do, if there's proper intelligence in place, we can mitigate from ever having to go to, you know, option B, option C, so to say.
I can't even imagine what it was like going through that experience when you're so young and then realize just learning about it when you become a teenager.
Yep.
But it really does highlight the power of why. And it sounds like that experience not only influenced a lot of your childhood, but what you're doing now and yep. what you're trying to help other people through with Gladius.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and that's that led to one of our founding principles was always about being able to work and help the community at any level. And that's why a lot of our services are in the executive protection of that higher end, but we also offer commercial firearm courses for your single house mom who's never touched a firearm before. But it's the idea of kind of that sovereign security aspect, right? That you as a person should be able to learn, adapt, and be at least your first line of security for yourself, whether it's just through awareness, whether it's through knowing how to use firearms, self-defense, whatever the case may be. But there's progress that can be made for anyone on this planet to just enhance their own personal security at any level. Mm-hmm. And so we took that concept, and obviously over time we scaled that concept up more to the executive level, where we get into the executive protection, kind of all the other services we're mentioning, and that's where we work with high net worth clients, corporate execs, Fortune 100 companies. We do due diligence on mergers, kind of anything within that realm, but it's really about the application of all those professional experiences from special operations, Navy SEALs, State Department, etc., all coming together, culminating and being used for this kind of new source of good to help just the private sector and your everyday citizen.
So I want to talk about the business side of things in a minute, but I'm fascinated by the business itself. It was like what you're actually doing with people. And I'm curious, what's the most common misconception people have about either their personal or their corporate security or just security in general that you run into?
Yeah, so one of the first misconceptions is, I'll say there's two large misconceptions. The first one is when people hear the word security, they think of your standard mall cop, your gate guard, something at that level, which is true, but security can mean so much more than just that kind of individual, right? It can mean that individual all the way up to your tier one forces. So there's so much more to it that it becomes an educational process when working with clients. Everyone from your A to Z, but it's educating them on what true security looks like, what true awareness looks like, what true capability looks like from all scales. That second biggest misconception really within the industry is that the resources that we have available as individuals, and we work with a lot of law enforcement and we train a lot of law enforcement, they think that that is security. And there's a level to that, but at the end of the day, law enforcement by nature will always be a reactive force. And so what we represent is the proactive nature of security and everything we can do to mitigate these scenarios from ever occurring, from ever law enforcement being involved, from ever those critical scenarios, from ever trauma actually being caused to begin with. And that starts with proper intelligence, proper professionals, proper training, proper capabilities.
When did you start thinking that this could be a business that you would build up and that you've built up into an impressive business, really?
I appreciate that. Really, I've always had this goal in life, especially ever since learning about the incident, but I knew my direction was always to try to be in a position where I can help safeguard individuals. And throughout my life, I've continued to kind of struggle here and there on finding what is that exact path looks like. For the longest period of time, I always planned on joining the military out of college. The summer that I graduated, my mom ended up having a stroke and it changed our family dynamic at home. So in my mind, I was going, what can I do that can still uphold this intrinsic goal that I really have as an individual while also having a little bit more time flexibility for what I thought was really important, that's my family. And that's when I found out security contracting, kind of went that route because the time allocation was a little bit more flexible and you had a little bit more personal choice on what that time looked like. And then, like I said, really looking at the standards and seeing what could be within the industry. And I say that because I think, and I know a lot of people that work for a lot of great defense firms, a lot of great contracting firms, but I think that industry is heading in the wrong direction right now. And I'll say that because the defense and the security industry as a whole has become so robust and kind of fat on itself on really feeding on conflict, right? You see stock numbers of all the major companies go up when there's more and more conflict around the world, to the point where those companies start wishing for conflict because that's what they need to be profitable.
Which is one of the greatest fears the public has about these firms.
Exactly. And so my view on the defense industry is, why should you feed on conflict? The whole goal should be to build stability, right? From stability, so much more can be built on top of that. That's when you can invite, you know, outside ventures. That's when you can build new infrastructure. But you need a foundation to build all that on and to welcome in new business in all these foreign lands and even at home right now.
I love that message, love that approach. How are you focusing on that in Gladius in particular?
Yep, so within Gladius in particular, what we've identified is, again, because of the robust nature of the individuals that we draw upon and that, you know, where I'm blessed to work with day in and day out, we've identified that all these capabilities can come together from your federal law enforcement, Navy SEALs, Special Forces. There's so many different pedigrees that when we look at a country that we're working with right now in the Caribbean, you're able to go in and look at them from the ground up and start saying, okay, what does border security look like? What does internal security look like? What does export, import start looking like? But we can take all these tactics, all these methodologies, everything that we've known from our prior service with the U.S. and go, okay, there's application here. We can start rebuilding the security apparatus from the ground up. We can start building this defense apparatus from the ground up. So we've chosen to start working with a select few administrations that are very, you know, democratic in nature, very capitalistic in nature, countries that are looking for internal growth, so that they can kind of flourish and become, you know, really bring their country back to fruition.
And is it almost a holistic approach to thinking about security for them?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
I think it is. Because when you look at it, you know, it kind of goes, I know it's going to sound funny, but like you don't know what you don't know, right? And unfortunately, the U.S. has been involved in enough wars, we've seen enough conflict that we have built up a robust apparatus of knowledge, you know, from the ground up, from law enforcement to the military application, DOD, DOJ, and a lot of policy that goes along with that. So what we look to do is to adapt that policy in a holistic manner to match the needs of, just like we do on the private side with an individual client, right? It's a matching our capabilities with whatever their exact needs are in a concierge manner. We do the same thing at the administrative level. We find their weaknesses. We kind of do almost an internal audit with them. We start identifying what is holding back the country from bringing in all the outside capital, from really what's holding back from that flourishing moment. And then we can start kind of attacking that at the root. We can start putting a new policy. We can start working with that administration hand in hand to the point where we'll be able to build that up, get operations in place. But our eventual goal as an organization is never to challenge the sovereignty of that country that we're working with either. Just like we would never challenge the business of any of our clients. We go in and we put everything in place. We'll train, and then we'll start a training process. We'll start training the local forces to actually uphold all these policies, institute these SOPs to be able to take over those operations. And our goal is to be able to then transfer everything to the host country's use into their own operations, and then really kind of work ourselves out of a job in the security mindset, and then utilize our extensive kind of partner network and a lot of the industries that we kind of have our hands in to then invite in that new business that can really help that country flourish. Mm. So whether it's in the energy sector, whether it's in mining, but do so in a proactive nature, but in a helpful manner for that country without waving any kind of big globalist flag or any kind of, you know, challenging what that country and what those people are.
This is just such a complex industry that's so high risk that you're playing at such a high level with. I'm curious, looking back at your growth as a business leader and as a company, if you were to give advice to your younger self as you were just getting into this, what would it be?
I would say hold on a little bit. And you know, when you look at it, you know, Gladius has been around. I mean, we've been around since 2020, so we still are a very fresh company, especially in the grand scheme of the defense industry and the way that, you know, our country's been doing things for a long, long time. But those first 3 years as an organization was very, very slow. It was very slow growth because you are an extremely competitive industry where the old timers and the older institutions, they have a monopoly on almost everything when you look at the way they work. Plus, we're going against the norm on how the defense industry and really the security sector has worked to date. we're looking at going against really the norm of what U.S. foreign policy has been from a administrative standpoint. So there's a lot of the uphill battle, a lot of the uphill stream fighting. But what we've realized within the last probably 18 months and 2 years is now it's kind of like that hold on moment where now having the right conversation with the right people, being in environments like this where there's entrepreneurs from so many sectors, starting to enlighten a lot of people on what really could be. And that's the same effect that we've had when talking with the, you know, foreign administrators of these countries as well. It's been able to look in and go, hey, there's a new way of doing things. We can help build it up. We're not waving any kind of, you know, crazy flag. This isn't our agenda. We're here to help build your stability. Then we're here to help build your economy, whatever we can do as a partner force with that local administration.
And to keep pulling on that string for other entrepreneurs who are in highly competitive industries, who are going up against major players that they're not sure how they're going to compete against.
No.
What advice would you have for them? Or what advice would you have for your younger self, knowing everything you know now about competing against them?
Don't be afraid to make a ripple, right? And I think a lot of people, when you get into business and you look at who has done it right, you want to follow in their foot tracks so much that you end up kind of losing any kind of individuality. And that also becomes a much harder slope to climb because obviously they've made it to that point by doing things successful in their own right. But don't be afraid to create a ripple. You're going to get a lot of backlash. There's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to like what you're talking about, what your businesses are. But at the end of the day, if you truly believe what you're doing is for the right causes and you know that you're helping people in a beneficial manner, you're probably on the right path. So keep going.
There's so much more we could go on with this, but I also know that you recently bought an exotic animal reserve in Florida, right?
Yes, sir. Yep. I know this is, I think whenever we talk, right, I think this is kind of one of the more interesting topics because
more, you know, unique, certainly unique.
Yes, yeah, definitely one of the more unique topics. About 2 years ago, we bought a 350-acre ranch in Florida. And I'm not gonna lie, when we first were looking at it, you know, looking at the pictures, and of course, you know, during COVID and stuff, you had the, you know, Joe Exotic and all that became very, very popular. But looking at the pictures, I thought to myself, like, this is gonna be some Joe Exotic 2.0 kind of stuff. Like, you have North American bison in Florida. Like, well, what's going on here? But we ended up going out to the property, and the property was owned by a South African native who served in the IDF and the South African Defense Force. And when he moved over here with his wife, he wanted to bring a little bit of his home with him. And so that's what led to kind of the foundation of the ranch originally. And so kind of learning that, I was like, oh, that's really neat. And then we went out and kind of toured the original facility. And within that 350 acres, there's 150 that's kind of like your standard ranch, your EIO farm kind of concept. But there's 200 acres that, I swear, it's like going into Jurassic Park. And it's one of the coolest things I think I've ever experienced. 200 acres of high fence where all the animals are free range together. And at the time, he had North American bison, South African water buffalo. He had African Watusi, Texas longhorn. There's four different species of deer on property. So all these really cool animals that are out there in a natural habitat, they're all free range feeding. It's very organic by nature. It's very natural when you go out there. It's very peaceful and kind of serene. So we looked at it and we're like, this is an incredible property. Growing up in Wyoming for a little bit, it was a little bit kind of homage back to my childhood as well. And so we ended up going through and, you know, following through with the merger, or not merger, purchase. And since then we kind of went in, we've redone a lot of the fencing and kind of just really updated everything. And now getting ready to add new animals to the herd. I think we just surpassed just over 24 North American bison now. I think we're getting close to 24 South African water buffalo. And so it's a healthy, thriving herd. And within probably the next 12 months, we're going to install a full commercial kitchen, start serving some of our local restaurants and kind of doing a farm-to-table style mentality when it comes to that. And then I think what we're really excited about is the potential of maybe, you know, hosting some kind of retreats and stuff down there where you can really get access to that farm-to-table combined with some really cool activities that I think we can mastermind.
I think that's just so cool that just for the fun of it, you've got, or just, you know, since you've had so much free time, you're just going to buy an exotic animal reserve. But love the idea of the retreats there. You know, I want to talk about us doing
Absolutely. Something
with that. And just so appreciative of you being here at the First Principle Business Summit, Michael. Like, this is just fantastic.
Thank you for having me. It's absolutely wonderful to be here.
So there's one question I like to ask everyone at the end. And the context is, I think it's always best for people to offer to give value first. If they want to connect with someone, if they want to learn a new industry, don't ask someone for something.
Yep.
Offer to give and do something. Offer to provide some kind of help. So if someone's listening and is fascinated by what you're doing or wants to get involved in security in some way, what could they offer to do for you? Any kind of help they could offer for you that you would be excited to receive and would respond to?
Well, I'll answer that question in two ways. A, we love, and this isn't what they can give us, but what we can potentially help with, we love questions, right? We've identified one of the most valuable things we can do with anybody, whether they're a client or just a community, is answer questions, tell people what they don't know, and just help build the education process behind the idea of being able to secure yourself. What does true risk look like? What is awareness principles? All these different aspects that go along with risk management in general. Asking what people can do for us, and that's spread the name. And truly, we work, 99% of our clients come through word of mouth. Because we build a lot of trust with our clients. The closer that we can work with you, the more conversation we can have, the better we can be proactive in our security management, better we can be acting in our risk management for whatever venture you're on, right? At the end of the day, our biggest goal is to help clients navigate any of these little intrinsic risks that come with every decision we make, from, hey, I want to travel, to the gorgeous islands like this. What is that? What does the risk look like involved with that? All the way up to, we help clients do multi-million-dollar, $100 million mergers by doing due diligence and kind of the back end on that. But truly, if people want to kind of help and provide and kind of work with Glias, it's spread the word.
Fantastic. Michael, thanks for everything that you're doing and for sharing all of this with the community and being here at the summit.
Absolutely. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Dr. I appreciate it.